Yeah, good morning, dear congregation. It's a joy and a pleasure to be here and to see what the Lord is doing here on this side of America. We know Carl and Kerstin quite a while. So my family and me, we have been here a couple of years ago, but we never made it on Sunday morning to the church. So I'm looking forward to see you all. And I met John Wilson on Thursday night for dinner, and so we talked a little bit, and he said, did Carl tell you what he is going to do on Sunday morning? And I said, no, I have no idea. So he told me exactly that, but actually, I thought it was a joke. So, Carl mentioned, no, I'm serious. Yeah, it's a pleasure to share what one of the major sermons or what I learned in this week. And so one night, John Piper was preaching on truth triumphs through providence. And this series, this lecture has really impacted my heart. And I thought I want to share what he told us and what the Lord did afterwards in my life. So his major topic was providence. He started with the definition of providence. What is providence? Providence is a purposeful sovereignty. Well, we know that the Lord is sovereign. That means God has the power and the right to do whatever he wants. But the question is, has God a plan in his sovereignty? Well, he has a plan, and this is purposeful sovereignty, which means providence. God governs all the things from the smallest one. He governs the death of his son. He governs the good and the bad. Then he went on and showed us the promises of God. And probably if you have your Bible with you, please turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, starting from verse 28. I just want to read a couple of verses. This has been his one of his major scriptures he went to. So in Romans 8, 28, Paul is writing and saying, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." So these are the promises God gave for the believers. But are there obstacles who want to keep us from reaching these promises? Oh yeah, so that was he was addressing on. There are obstacles which want us to keep away from reaching those promises. And Paul is defining them in the next verses. Verse 31, he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Well, and he's just mentioning some obstacles. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So this was so amazing because one point he made the whole time, Piper, was that all these obstacles, they are not only there that we shall survive these obstacles, but these obstacles will serve us in reaching the purpose God has intended for us. So this is so important, and it's really I really refreshed, and probably it's theology you already know. It's not new, but just being aware once again. I mean, everybody of us, we have trials, we deal with issues we don't like, we deal with obstacles in our life, and what is so important is God uses these obstacles to fulfill his purpose. These obstacles will actually serve us to fulfill the purpose. This is what is so refreshing. We will not have just to survive, just to make it through, however we do, but to find joy in these obstacles. So he was putting it strongly on what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? Because if somebody conquers, so he will kill his enemy. But Piper makes it clear that actually if somebody conquers, his enemy, to be more than a conqueror, his enemy actually serves him. So that's what these obstacles will do with us. We are more than conquerors, so all those obstacles actually will serve to our purpose God has intended. So he went on and made it clear with a couple of other passages, especially Acts 2, and showed the sovereignty of God even over sin in giving over his own son. Then he went on to Job, is that right? Job, sorry. That's a little bit German. Job. And of course, you know the story of Job. Well, Satan came to God and he wanted permission to deal with Job, right? So we know the whole story. But after all of this, it is so interesting to see what Scripture really talks about. Please turn to Job 42, verse 11. And at the end, in the last chapter of Job, we get a different perspective on the whole situation. So we know Satan really pushed hard on Job. He took all his possession. He even didn't spare his physical body. And he was sick. Well, a lot of discomfort and a lot of trials came over him. But it's so interesting to see the providence of God in all of this. And it really struck my heart I never thought about it. In Job 42, verse 11, it giving a complete new perspective. There it says, "Then came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before." So the whole family of Job came and after whatever happened to him and ate bread with him in his house. And they showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Isn't it amazing? Who brought all the evil upon Job? Well, we think it was Satan. Actually, it was God. It was the providence of God who used all this evil to work in Job's life for the purpose he was called for. So in all the obstacles we face in our lives, it's so comforting to know God uses these. So actually, right the day or 2 days afterwards, I got sick. So really sick. And this sermon, it was just a comfort, you know. Well, I hardly could go out of bed. I had fever, headache, everything. It was really bad. But it was encouraging to know, well, even on a trip, being not at home, it is all these obstacles are the Lord uses them. They will serve us for the goal God has intended for us. So this is so encouraging for me, and I hope it will encourage you in all, whatever the trials and difficulties you face through, to know it's not Satan calling permission to deal and bring heartache, but it is the providence of God who is working. Yeah, thank you.
Good morning from my side too. My name is Ralph, and either John nor Matthias told me during the week that you have such a good tradition. So Carl told me yesterday evening, and I thought Matthias will do it, but now both of our names are on the schedule. So I apologize for my English. I tried to do the best to give you an overview and a testimony what really comes to my heart during the conference. And I heard that some of you listened to the live stream, so I decided to go to a seminar because it was not possible for you to look the seminars or just one of them in the worship center. So I decided to use one of them who really spoke to my heart, because I realized that I was not faithful in my life during this part of the seminar. I will go directly to 1 Peter 3, where the title of the seminar comes from. In 1 Peter 3, verse 7, Peter addresses an important message to us men, and the title of the seminar was, "So that your prayers may not be hindered." So I know there are some women inside too, but I think it's encouraging for them too, but especially to the men. Harry Walsh gives a great overview of 1 Peter, because most of the time when we think about our life as a believer, we always have the do's and don'ts in our mind. We have to be faithful, and we have to be stewards, and we have to be nice and love each other and all that kind of stuff. But Peter starts in a very, very encouraging situation. He said in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance that is imperishable, in undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." So it's so amazing to hear that it's not on our side. So it's not you and I who bring our faith to the end. Because John MacArthur said it in a good way several years ago. He said, when it's on our side, we'll never come to the end. It is impossible to reach the goal. So it was so encouraging in this, having in mind that we as men should be faithful to our wives. It starts at and with Jesus Christ. And then he go further to chapter 2 and said, because we are believers, because God give us salvation, because God forgive our sins, we should be, and now I have to look in verse 9 in chapter 2, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So we should live in such a way that we're a good testimony, that through us Christ can enlighten the world. And that's very important. And then he come to chapter 3, verse 7, and addressed to us men and husbands, that we should honor our women, our spouses, as the weaker vessels. And these weaker vessels doesn't mean that our wives are not smart enough or our wives are not strong enough. It means more, and he go back to Genesis 1 and 2, that God created and designed men and women in a different way, equal and absolutely on the same level before God, but he created men and women with different roles and different things, and he decided that he create the women as a helper a helper for men, and we as men should treat them well, should guard them and should help them in every single way. And he gives some applications what he did in his life. So he said, well, I live in a very safe area in Los Angeles, but never that my wife is not allowed to go out in the evening without our German Shepherd. Because, because I am responsible to guard her and help her and be, So, and that was really important for me, because we always have our ministry and our mission and all our goals in mind, and we are so, day by day, we try to do all what God gives to us, and from time to time, we completely forget that there is even higher and more important thing that's going on. It's in our marriage. When we come to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, it's all about our relationship at home. And Paul makes clear that without you're a good husband and serve well and shepherd your family, you are not able to do all the other ministries and all the other things in your ministry. And he finished and come to the end of the first 7 and said, well, what does it mean that your prayers are hindered? And he said, when we think about the word hindered, it's like what happened in Genesis 3, that it's getting harder to get food and the thorns and thistles are now here. But he said, no, that's not what Paul has in mind when he say that your prayers will not be hindered. It's more the sense of completely cut off. So it's maybe hard to pray. So he said, when we are not men like that, we are completely cut off from God. So it's not even possible to reach him with prayers. He said, the prayer go at least to the top of your house, but not even higher. So it was really humbling on the one side, but really encouraging on the other side, that it's not our strengths, it's not our power that we can reach that goal, but we have to, and we go back to 1 Peter 1 and realize that we are unbelievable blessed in God the Father and Jesus Christ, and it is his great mercy that we can stand here today in the morning as children of God and praise him. And hopefully it's encouraging for you, all of men who are married, and maybe all of you who get married soon or maybe later, to have always in mind that we serve a wonderful and gracious God, and he gives all the power and all the mercy, and we as men should treat our wives well, should help them in every single way, should see them as the weaker vessel, and look at them to our women and spouses who are in the same grace of life, and be faithful to them, that our prayers not be hindered. Thank you.
You are praying for us, and you are part of fulfilling the Great Commission. So in praying and serving and ministering, helping out. So it's a pleasure to give you an overview of what is going on in Germany. you can start with, this is Ralph's family. He will talk, he will introduce it later. You can go on to the next picture. This is my family. God blessed us with 4 kids. My wife Esther over there, and our daughter Nora, 15, Ben, he is 12, Lila is 8, and the youngest one, Phil, he is 5. So I think 8 years ago we have been here. So Ben and Nora, they have been in person here. Lila, she was in the womb in Santa Rosa. and Phil haven't been here. Actually, this picture is from the Pergamon Museum. And I would invite you to come to Berlin. So if you ever make it to Germany, please, you are welcome to see what's going on over there. To see not only the church and what is going on, but also I would invite you to visit the Pergamon Museum. I'm so sad because they closed it down and doing a lot of work for, I think, 15 years. But actually, this was the Ishtar Gate, the gate from Babylon, which Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel passed through. So I touched it one time just to tell Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar I was there. Yeah. So you can move to the next slide. So EBTC, the European Bible Training Center, We started 23 years ago. I'm not from the beginning there. Actually, I'm the second generation. We had guys from TMS, trained at TMS, and they came over to Germany and they started the training center. So it's the goal of the Masters Academy International to train indigenous church leaders worldwide. So EBTC is one of the training centers worldwide. We have a lot. We brought some brochures with us. Please make sure you grab one of those after the service and take it with you. So we have enough for, I think, for everybody or each family. I'm actually the second generation, so we had guys train us, and we started the training. We have been interned into churches. Became a pastor a couple of years ago, then we started church planting, and meanwhile, we teach the next generation, which is so encouraging to see that the Word of God is passing on, and churches are strengthened, even in Germany. We have to fulfill the Great Commission to reach out and make disciples. Our goal is to train the next generation of kids, raising up for the Lord, but also to train the next generation of pastors, teaching faithfully the Word of God in Germany. For example, we worked with Andrew, one of the guys over there. He came from a pretty legalistic church. It was a big Russian-German church, and they haven't done everything right, but he even blew the whole church up. So he came to the training center, and I think he went through all of the courses, all of the classes. He even became an intern in our church, and a couple of years later, we sent him back to his church. He made a transition and started work over there, helped the leadership over there. Finally, he became an elder at that church, and it is so encouraging to see that the church is really doing well. So it has a huge tradition from a legalistic background, but they are transitioning and teaching the Word of God faithfully, preaching it faithfully, and meanwhile, even one location of our training center is at his church, and they have a lot of people from their church being trained by us. What are we doing? So you can keep it there. So we have Bible survey. Our goal is that every believer reads through the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. They can study it in our church, but also we want them to do it in their home churches. So churches are teaching it in their churches. So people get it from the training center and taking it over to the churches. In total, we have 500 students in those churches who are reading through the Bible and doing homework, just getting an overview. The next year is Bible study with prophet. There we have 124 students. So we want students to study, to understand hermeneutics, to study systematic theology, understand ecclesiology, what is the church, especially for those who are doing Bible studies, who are working in the youth ministry, who are teaching the kids. So everybody who is involved in some kind of teaching, and we want to equip them to be faithful and how to handle the Word of God. After those 2 years, students can go on either to music ministry or to biblical counseling for 2 years or to the preaching institute. So all of these courses take 2 years. And we equip them there. For example, the preachers, they have to preach every month. It's like a preaching lab, and they got graded. They get feedback from their fellow students and feedback from the professors in order to teach the Word of God expositionally. And whoever wants to go beyond could go and do the Master of Divinity. So we have the Master of Divinity. It's from all the European training centers together. This is in English. So all the other courses are trained in German. You can move on to the next slide. We have four locations, one in Berlin, one in Rhineland, one in Zurich, and one in Vienna. Actually, the one in Rhineland, we split it in meanwhile in two locations because we got too many students over there and the church is not able to handle all what is going on. We had almost 1,200 students in Bible survey. So you see the numbers. Couple of students in the different courses. We have 29 teachers or professors who are teaching at different locations, coming from different churches, but having we are like-minded. We share the same goal, the same philosophy of ministry, and which is so incredible and encouraging. So, what are we doing beyond of this? Can go on to the next slide. we have. We translate, we do publishing, and we translate books which might be helpful for the German-speaking congregations and churches. We do blogs and articles just to help out the other one. One of the huge projects we are dealing right now is the next slide is... we are doing a translation. I mean, you all know Martin Luther. so if you come over to Germany, you are welcome to visit Wittenberg and see the door where he nailed the 95 theses on. And so he was the first who translated from the Greek and Hebrew into German. Actually, we haven't had translations for the last 100 of years, a new refreshed translation into German. And Benedict Peters, one of the guys, he is a genius in languages, in Greek and Hebrew. He is, I don't know, 65 or so. Even more than 70, probably. So he did a lot of commentaries on Bible books, and meanwhile, he translated the scripture into German, so by himself. So after all of this, well, he said, we should do a translation, because all the new aspects of language study haven't been got into, so the research of the last 100 of years in language study haven't been implemented into a new translation. So this is what we are doing right now. He's working on the translation. We are publishing it, so book by book. We started with Philippians. Yeah, right? Yeah. right now comes out Matthew. Then you can pray for this because it's a huge project. It will take us about 5 years to finish it. Yeah, one of the next project, so you can go on to the next slide, where you can pray for is Grace to You sermons. I'm sure you know Grace to You, right? You are familiar with the sermons of John MacArthur. And so they asked us to translate almost 600 of actually the best Grace to You sermons, those who are reached out most, into German. So this is one project which will... have impact on me because I'm doing I'm actually the voice. So somebody translates it, and I will listen to John's sermon and go to the manuscript and just make the finalized translation, and then preach it. It takes about 5 years, looks like, pretty a long project, but it really has a huge impact on the churches. It is able to use it as mission options because we have people from different areas. So sometimes we don't know the language. We don't know good sermons in, well, we have a lot of guys in Turkish, in Berlin, or Spanish, or whatever. And we don't have good resources for them. So one issue how we could do this is to use Grace to You and say, hey, here are a couple of good sermons for you. Another issue which took place is the ministry in Ukraine. You're familiar with the war going on in between Russia and Ukraine. So this really was a big issue, a big project the last 2 years. We had regularly sending guys who drove to Ukraine, either to Lviv, which is in the western part of Ukraine, or to Kiev, even to Kiev, and took a lot of material to them. So food, whatever is needed, but also Bibles, books, which helps them. We work over there with the locals. There is a TMAI training center, so we know the guys personally. With some of them, I sat in class together, so Pastor Alex, so we know each other pretty long. And what they are doing is they don't just distribute out whatever is needed, but they always keep it close with the gospel. So the guys over there, they are even going to the front where the soldiers get their introduction and their marching order to go to the front. And actually, as far as I heard, nobody of the soldiers ever said, they get a New Testament and they are welcoming it. They read it and a lot of soldiers get saved. I mean, they know they are facing probably death. They know that only one third will come back from the front over there. So they deal with life and death. And we equip them with material, whatever they need. So and they get New Testament. Nobody denied it. So which is really a huge. And this guy over there, so the faces are unclear for purpose. But this is the guy who was leading it over there, one of the missionaries in Ukraine. Yeah, can go on to the next slide. One of the what we are trying to do as the training center is one emphasis is we want to help churches. So either grow and mature churches or even to plant churches. We trained pastors to plant churches. And meanwhile, we have a couple of churches connected to the training center, which started one in Switzerland and a couple of in Berlin. So actually, our church plant is one of these. So I'm so thankful that you are praying for a lighthouse. In Germany, it's called Leuchtturm. Yeah, it's easier to say lighthouse. We started 2019. You can go into the next slide. this was our, so that's the team we started, almost the team we started with. We started with 20, 24 members and almost another 25 kids. So a lot of kids over there. We had no facilities, so we just rented some facilities for Sunday, a couple of hours. So for over 2 years, right, we had to, every Sunday we came in at 9 o'clock, I think we started, so we had to put the chairs in place, we had to put the whole technique, so the whole setup we had to put in place. Then we had service, we had fellowship after service, and then we had to tear it down. So for over 2 years, every Sunday. Finally, in God's providence, we were able to rent some facilities. It is a place where they used to sell cars, but it's good for us. And so you can go on to the next slide. So this is the new facilities we have. God is gracious. We are growing. So there are new converts, so new believers who get saved, but also a lot who come, who have been in, well, not faithfully churches, not really churches which are faithful to the word. And especially COVID brought a lot on the surface, which are churches who are faithfully stick to God's word and which are just liberal. So we have a lot of people who want to hear God's word teaching. So they come from those liberal churches. In the next slide, you see our team who are working. So this is our ministry team who serves in different areas of the ministry. Yeah, the next slide, you will see our outreach. By God's providence, we are able to serve and to reach out to the neighborhood. And so we have major two issues where we help out. One is in the summertime, they call it a family Familienfest. What's in festival? Family festival. So all of the neighborhood comes together, over 1,000 of people, and we can be there. And so we do something for the kids, just in order to be able to talk to the parents. So they can draw something or whatever, and we try to reach out the parents, and which is incredible because meanwhile a lot of guys know us. Even nobody visits the church, but they know about us. Last year they didn't want to have us back and over there. So it was incredible. We announced it to the church. They don't want us to be back, which is sad. So we prayed about new opportunities, and one of the guy in the congregation, he heard about it. And he's a lawyer from this area, and he just gave one call to a lady, and 2 hours later he told me, "Hey, we are back again." So it's incredible how the Lord uses it, just to serve there. And meanwhile, they really love us to be there. They want us to be there. Even so, they are hesitant to the gospel. We have a big Bible verse in the backyard. Everybody who passes by knows we are a church. We are standing for the gospel and sees the verse over there, which is awesome. Yeah, which is incredible is the whole church is out there. So even the kids, the teens, they just play with the other kids and invite them. And so, this is really amazing. So one of the next emphasis is the next slide is our youth group. We have a lot of kids, we have, how do you say, Freizeiten? Camps, right, yeah. We have Bible camps and which have a huge impact on the teens. So three Sundays ago, we had a baptism. It was amazing what the Lord has done. We have been really, it was a great joy for the whole church. And from 8 who got baptized, 7 of them have been from our youth group. So between 15 and 20. And those camps have had a huge impact on all of them. So some got repented at the camp, but for some it was just an encouragement to come to the Lord. You can pray for our next generation. So can go on to the next slide. Yeah, here our kids are going to Sunday school, which is we don't have enough facilities. So they have to go about 3 minutes to a next building to have Bible study over there. Yeah, the next slide is the baptism we had 3 weeks ago. It was incredible. We had a pool in the church. So we never had that before. So one project you can pray for is, it's a huge project, is the new building project. Because the training center is growing, and we have actually the training center is scattered on 3 different areas in Berlin. So we have the training in one church, the office is in another place, and there is another building. So we plan to take it all a little bit together. And even our church plant, well, we run out of space, and we are looking for a new space. So we started to pray for, and by God's providence, we were able to purchase 1 year ago a property. So the plans are that the training center and our church plant, we will partner together and build some kind of a project where both are located. So the church plant and the training center. So these are some pictures from here. We just signed the contract. Right now, this is the property over there. It's an old house which needs to be teared down and replaced by this one. So these are the plans the next one. Yeah, these are the plans for the size of the building, how big it should be. There's a lot of offices we need, we need space for all the books we publish and sell. Yeah, you can go on to the next. So we plan about 3 floors, some working places. Could go on to the next slide. Some classrooms for the teaching, which takes place over there. Yeah, so that's it. Thank you so much for being part of praying for us and being part of what God is doing overseas. We are looking forward to June when Carl and Kerstin will come over. And we will take out of call whatever is possible. So he will teach. So he will teach and preach in our church and teach in the training center. So looking forward to. Yeah, probably Ralph, you can add some.
Should I say? Maybe you can go back to my family photo so I can share some thoughts about my family. So, yeah.
That's a lot like us.
So I can tell you. So, yeah, my wife is Kirstin, pretty same to Kerstin. So I'm just only one. Yeah, so on the right. And we have also 4 kids. So our oldest son, Elias, he is right beside me. He was one of the 7 guys from the youth group who got baptized. So, and Matthias' oldest daughter, too. So it was pretty amazing Sundays 3 weeks ago. And Theo, he came to me after the service and said, "Well, I've never seen you with tears in your eyes. That's the first time." And I said, "Well, I mean, I didn't plan that, but I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, I think every one of us who are parents, I mean, our biggest wish and biggest prayer request and biggest goal in our life as a family is that our children come to faith and got baptized. And that was pretty pretty amazing, and I think a huge testimony for the whole church, because from time to time you think about Sunday after Sunday after Sunday or Friday when a youth group is, you preach the gospel and you met with them, and from time to time it seems there's nothing going on. I mean, they know everything, and it's hard. But on the other side, I mean, it was so a huge blessing and a great Sunday for all, I mean, especially for the parents, but for the whole church to see what's going on. Even the 8th one, he is older. He was an elder for 17 years in a church, maybe a more liberal one. But the church went down in a sense during the COVID pandemic, and they start coming to us. And then a few months ago, they said, "Well, we want to be part of the church. We want to be members." And then we said, "Well, of course, but baptized as a baby, it's hard to find that in the Bible. Not even hard, it's impossible to find it. So you should get baptized again." So the funny part, I think I have to tell you that. So he said, "Well, then I have to get baptized tomorrow." So he go to Amazon and bought two swimsuit, Taucheranzug, for him and Matthias to get baptized in the lake beside the church. He said, well, we don't have to go so fast. I mean, we have our baptism a few weeks later, so we have the pool. So it's not necessary to go to the lake, which is maybe, I don't know, 2 degrees Celsius. I don't know what is in Fahrenheit, but it's pretty cold. So yeah, there are really encouraging things going on. And maybe one thing for the EBTC, Matthias even mentioned it, but our main goal right from the beginning was to train pastors, to encourage and to help and train the churches. So that is maybe one of our main points and main focuses on the preaching institute and the preaching class, but also on everything else. But what we realized is it's impossible as a training center to reach every church and every church member. So after several years, the well-trained churches or mature churches, they come to us and said, well, it is so amazing and we are so thankful what the EBTC is doing in Germany, Switzerland and Austria, but we have a lot of young mothers or elderly people or people who are so, stick to their job. So it's nearly impossible. They have maybe 10, 15 hours every day, so they can't show up once a month on 2 days at the training center. Is there a possibility to start training in our church? We said, of course, we have to think about it, but of course. So we remodeled our whole Bible survey class. We bring up a complete new platform, which, by side, it's available in English too. And we decided to help churches in our, mainly in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, in our first thinking, to help them to get Bible survey in their churches. So we started with 1 or 2 churches. At the moment, we have 35 churches in Germany with more than 500 church members who train their members in their speed. So it's 10 months at EBTC, pretty tough. Most of the churches said, well, 10 months is a little bit too fast. We go with 15 months or 2 years. And that was our first thinking. And then the Italian Bible Training Center came and said, well, is it possible to get it in Italian too? I said, well, we translate it in Italian. Then the Polish guys come and said, is it possible to get it in Polish and Croatia? And it goes further and further. And now we have the chance, and we talked with people in Saudi Arabia and Turkey, and they said, well, we have 100,000s of people who want to read the Bible. There are a lot of unbelievers too, but they said they are really interested to read the Bible because the only thing they get is the Quran and their Muslim religion. But they said they start realizing that there is even more, and they see that Christians are completely different, and Christians had really hope, and they believe in a Savior who really saves, not in a God who is maybe one day you are saved and one day you are not, and if you don't get a terrorist, you never know if you're going to be saved or not. And that's crazy. And so that's the next big step from our thing, so you can pray for them too, to start translating the whole platform in Turkish and Arabic language. And if God will use it, hopefully a lot of people got saved through that project and start knowing the only and real God, I mean, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So thank you very much for all your prayers. It's really encouraging to stay on the, in a sense, other side of the planet and see what's going on here, and it's so encouraging to see that you are praying for us, and we are really thankful for that. Thank you.
On that note, join me in prayer. Father, we give you the praise.